King Tide, written by Crawrights, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, the Murderbot Diaries. Pairing, Asshole Research Transport / Murderbot. Rating explicit, no archive warnings apply. In the bad old days, I had cubicle time scheduled once every 200 hours unless things were too busy. After I got back out of the cubicle, hours 1 through 30 were good. Hours 31 through 120, not bad. Hours 121 through 170 would kind of suck, and the final 30 hours would be just a grind. There were headaches and body aches, and I would feel sluggish, and my thoughts would get blurry, and my fingers would get twitchy, and I'd get these burning, zapping sensations in my legs and lower back. When I had to go past hour 200, it got harder to consider myself alive. But what else could you do, really? Company sec units are rentals. The only chance we have at getting maintenance is if it's made really fucking easy for clients to manage. There is only one maintenance cycle option in a company cubicle, and it is nearly impossible for clients to screw up. But as a result, the standard cycle had to do everything. It took a minimum of 5 hours and required shutting down, and who wants that? The company does, of course. A full cubicle maintenance cycle goes through kilos of consumables per unit, and guess who sells the only authorized cubicle resupply kits? And having long maintenance periods means frequent schedule gaps, which make it easier to upsell extra units to clients. Art doesn't have a cubicle. It didn't when I first boarded, and it hasn't gotten one since. It offered when I decided to stay with it, but I told it not to bother. Being in charge of my own maintenance means that I can get what I need when I need it. If I haven't been in a dusty environment, I don't change my particulate filters. As long as I haven't been in extremes of temperature or humidity, the rubbery pads in my joints will last a lot more than 200 hours. The best part, though, is that I can do a fluid change as often as I fucking want. And since I can do it without the hassle of the full maintenance cycle now, it's usually just a 15-minute procedure that doesn't require shutdown, so I want it often. That gross hour 175 feeling isn't an unavoidable part of my life anymore. It's something that doesn't have to happen at all. When I first got off inventory, I used to do all of my maintenance in med system, but it's not exactly my favorite place to relax, and humans are prone to wandering in at all hours with assorted disgusting problems to fix. Instead, Art and I have been cobbling together an ad hoc maintenance system in my quarters that meets most of my routine needs. I call it the chair, because that is what it very literally is. I'll invent a cool anagram later. The chair is absolutely enormous, easily 3 times as wide as I am, which has given Art and me plenty of room for hiding tanks and pumps and attachments, and a mini engineering department inside. It's got some kind of mechanism in it that lets it stretch out and lie almost completely flat, which is great because the fluid exchange is more effective if it isn't pooling in my extremities. The chair is upholstered in this plasticky stuff that's listed in the recycler catalog as faux Corinthian leather. I don't know what kind of animal a Corinth was, but its hide was apparently easy to clean after spills. Kareem came to my quarters once and saw the chair. Her face, normally a masterwork of projected serenity, did a remarkable thing, because Kareem has very refined taste. If she wanted, she could work as a costumer or a set decorator or something. Meanwhile, even a second-hand rogue sec unit with trash-tier education modules can tell the chair was probably one of the ugliest pieces of furniture that human civilization had ever produced. Even before I started cutting it open and shoving a combination janitor's closet fucked up med system into it. Tonight, it was the most welcome sight I'd ever seen. Twice every academic year, the university has a mandatory fieldwork skills workshop for grad students in the planetary and biological sciences. They cram about 200 of the naivest, newly minted grad students they can find into a research transport, bring them around to the underdeveloped east continent of New Tideland, and have them practice using first aid kits and getting rovers stuck in the mud. So many rovers. So much mud. New Tideland's name is not a coincidence. Its surface is mostly ocean, and Mihira is more of a co-planet than a moon, so the tides are huge. What land there is consists almost exclusively of tidal flats, and New Tideland has a thick, humid, swampy atmosphere that makes everything feel twice as hard as it is. Things are already plenty hard on account of its gravity being 1.6 g at sea level. New Tideland is not dangerous and the rampaging fauna want to eat my clients way, but the little rovers are not nearly as safe as the students seem to think. They're about 300 kg, and overpowered relative to their size. They're designed to have plenty of ground clearance, which means they also have high centers of gravity. If you're doing something stupid, like violently jerking the drive from max forward to max reverse in an effort to unstick them from mud, they have a tendency to unpredictably rear up and overturn on their operators. And while 300 kg, absolute, 480 subjective, is lightweight compared to, say, hoppers, human skulls and rib cages and such do not stand a chance in those kind of accidents. So it had been a busy day of convincing anxious high achievers with things to prove about their field worthiness to not accidentally flatten themselves. I was beat. In the shower, I'd washed about a kilo of sand out of my gun ports, even though I hadn't actually opened them. Then I'd taken my feet off, disassembled them, and put them in the small dish sanitizer Art had gotten me for that purpose. I set the cycle to heavy scrub, then hobbled over to the chair for a fluid change. Most nights, I'm good with a filtration cycle on my primary circulatory fluid and a top off on my saline reserve. But even after the shower, I was still catching faint whiffs of rotting seaweed, so tonight I wanted a complete fluid change. I'd earned it. Art had the chair ready for me, its internal heating circuits turned on, and the massage heads ready to start kneading my back and quads. All I had to do was fish the resupply leads out of the upholstery and plug myself in. I settled my favorite blanket over my organic parts, and Art was laying me out flat as soon as my shoulders hit the backrest. The circulation pumps in the chair started whirring, and the ones in my torso went silent. Humans always talk about heart-stopping moments like they're a bad thing. I like the sensation of stillness, though. Very restful. If you happen to be capable of outsourcing your circulatory and respiratory functions, I recommend you try it. Humans don't know what they're missing. "Want to start the next season of New Resurgence, Raider Terminus?" Art asked. NRRT features the adventures of a group of humans after their transport's bot pilot intentionally stranded them on a dangerous planet. Over the course of the first dozen episodes, they slowly discovered that it was responsible, then deleted it, and went on living in its derelict body. It seems to find some sneaky way of reanimating itself and trying to murder the main characters once a season or so. Art hates the show with a passion. I squirmed a little deeper into the chair. "You don't owe me for doing my job, Art." It has had some really bad experiences with students getting injured on fieldwork skills tours, and hates them even more than it hates NRRT. "I don't," it agreed. "But maybe I'd like to do something for you anyway. I'd have at least 3 students overnighting in med system if you hadn't been there today to manage the situation." I couldn't seem to get as comfortable as I wanted. My feet were in the dishwasher, getting the algae blasted out of my toe joints, but I suspected that if they were currently attached to my legs, they would be twitching furiously. For some reason, not being able to feel them seemed to make the twitchy feeling worse everywhere else. I thumped my lower legs against the footrest, frustrated. "What I really want is for my stupid sciatic nerves to stop misfiring. Will you turn them off for me?" I'm no stranger to turning down my pain sensors, but I really don't like turning major parts of my nervous system completely off. I can't walk without those nerves. I doubt I could crawl on all fours either, although I'd probably be able to manage a belly crawl if I had to. I know I'm not exactly setting any speed records with my feet in the dishwasher, but at least I can still get around my quarters. I don't even like having the ability to turn them off, mainly because on too many nights, it's so fucking tempting. If I let myself do it on a night like tonight, when they're especially shitty, then I'll be tempted again 3 cycles later. Then, before you know it, it's a habit I'm spending way too much time, way too helpless. No. So, art has the key to those systems. If I want them disabled, I have to ask for help, and that alone keeps me from doing it more than once every 5,000 hours or so. "Let's try something else first," said Art. Huh. Art had never refused a request before. It knows how much I hate asking. "What do you have in mind?" I asked. "Nerve stimulation," Art replied. "That sounds like the opposite of what I need right now. My nerves are going nuts." "Exactly," said Art. "They're not getting appropriate stimulation and feedback, so they're reacting to nothing. But if I can get the settings dialed in right, I should be able to provide the feedback they need without having to shut them off altogether." "If?" "There will be some trial and error involved. Working out an effective stimulation regimen may be quite painful. But if we can get it right, it will give you better symptom management without losing your ability to sense and control your legs."
"Let's do it."
"I'll try not to hurt you."
I shrugged. "I won't take it personally when you do."
"Tell me if you want to stop."
"I will," I lied. I wanted my fucking legs to work right a lot more than I wanted to avoid a bit of pain. Art's never been good at understanding that a little hurt is the ticket price for living. Art started one of my diagnostics running. No, I hadn't felt it gain access to my systems. No, it hadn't asked permission to infiltrate me. Yes, I think it does things like this more often than I know. Yes, when it does flaunt its access, I suspect it enjoys demonstrating the power it has over me. No, it doesn't bother me anymore that Art hacks me as casually as it dims the interior lights during the crew rest period. Art has rebuilt me from the ground up. Multiple times, even. By this point, it has cracked me open so thoroughly that it isn't really hacking anymore. It's just using an API it built for a system it owns. Deep down, I like it, and I don't want to think about why. This is how it's supposed to be between a sec unit and its hub system. We're built for them, they sustain us, and we support them without reservation or any sense of self-preservation. I hate this about myself, but I had sort of missed having my hub systems know me, use me to my fullest after I hacked my governor module. It felt bad deceiving them, bad being enemies. But breaking away is what allowed me to learn who I am, and to meet Art, who is a million times better than any hub system I've ever known. The diagnostic completed. My performance reliability was at 84%. In addition to my detached feet and my ongoing fluid replacement cycle, the diagnostic showed anomalous signal activity in the nerves of my hips and lower extremities. Silly me, thinking a diagnostic might provide some kind of insight into a problem's root cause or solution. Still, it might be useful to have an objective baseline for how intense the nerve activity was. The door to my quarters whooshed open, and one of Art's med drones floated in. It extended some of the little pads it likes to stick on organic tissue to monitor, I don't know, weirdness per deciliter or something. And it put them on the organic bits of my lower body. Then it cut power to its hover unit and settled on my belly. I put a stabilizing hand on it, because I was already feeling twitchy, and had an idea that it would get worse before it got better. Art reached into my sensory processing systems and started methodically stimulating my nerves, one at a time, starting at the lowest levels and then ramping the signal up. And, true to its prediction, it did hurt sometimes. I put on some music, a 4-century-old spoken word poetry album that had been reworked by a honk pomp band 15 years ago, and did my best to ignore it. The nerve stimulation didn't seem to be doing any good. By the end of the 6th song, art had already worked its way through my legs and turned to my hips and pelvic region. My legs and feet still felt crawly and weird. Art had worked through a nerve that seemed to have something to do with sensing pressure in my ass and the back of my thigh when it found something different. I couldn't seem to place which part of my body it was connected to, but when Art stimulated it, my internal circulatory pumps suddenly turned themselves back on, even though the chair's external systems were still working. I switched my internals off again and double-checked that the interruption hadn't messed up my fluid replacement cycle. "Any remarks?" asked Art. "No," I responded. "Just weird. You saw what it did to my pumps, but it didn't hurt." Art dropped an eye-rolling sigil in our feed. "Weird, right. Sometimes I think you must not have downloaded the lexicon upgrades I gave you." "Your lexicon does not have vocabulary to describe the sensation of being a bot-human construct having its organic nerves mapped by an astronomical research transport." "Mind if I try that one again?"
"No. Why would I?"
Art didn't answer, just fired off a little more signal through the same nerve. And my damn circulatory pumps turned themselves on again. What the hell? I shut my pumps off. Art didn't ask permission before hitting that nerve again. My pumps kicked on a third time and I flinched, almost knocking the med drone off my lap. It still didn't hurt, but the phantom sensation was unusually intense. I pried my fingers out of the upholstery I had in a death grip, and then realized I was sweating. Not hard, like I'd been doing something strenuous, but my organic skin felt distinctly damp. "Float your drone again, Art." It acquiesced, and I stripped off the blanket. I was definitely sweating. I shifted and felt the skin of my back stick a bit to the chair's faux leather. "What the?" I cut myself off in mid-sentence. It couldn't be. I'd given up on the possibility, told myself I was at peace with it. I was not at peace with it. "Hit it again, Art, hard, and this time hold it for 15 seconds, no matter what happens." For once, Art didn't argue or ask me to explain myself. It just stimulated the nerve it had found again, exactly the way I had asked it to. My pumps cut on again, and this time I let them run. At the 5-second mark, my breathing subroutines also activated themselves. That same maddening sensation was everywhere and nowhere in my pelvic region, like my sensory subprocessor didn't quite know what to do with the data. But I thought I knew. "Art, is that nerve supposed to connect to genitals in a human?" It hesitated for a fraction of a second longer than it really needed to. "Do you need me to stop? I can try to find more options to relieve the nerve issues in your legs."
"No, fuck no. Forget my stupid legs. I might be able to have an orgasm."
"And you're okay with that?" I could feel Art's hesitancy in the feed. "I thought you hated sex."
"I do hate sex. It's disgusting when humans do it, and it's incredibly frustrating when I can't."
I didn't really know how to explain what I was feeling beyond that. I wrapped the metal parts of my knuckles against the plate covering my crotch.
"There's nothing under there but my power cells. You know that, right? But I've tried, anyway, to find some way to make it feel something. Ever since I hacked my governor module, I've been trying. I've never found anything that works. I hate it. I hate being interested because I hate being reminded that I can't."
I'd never admitted that before. Couldn't say it without thinking back to all those times I'd experimented with pressure and friction and vibration and sexually charged media and changing all the brain settings I could reach. And each time I ended the attempt alone and frustrated and more than a little disgusted with myself. But no matter how many times I failed at it, I couldn't seem to stop hoping that one day, somehow, I might find a way to have an orgasm. "And now you think this could work?" Art asked. "I don't know. Maybe? Maybe I'm just setting myself up for frustration again. But it's doing something different. I've never gotten this close before. Please, I've got to try." "What do you want me to do?" "Turn it up, slowly. I'll tell you when to stop." Art pinged acknowledgement. A few seconds passed, and then the sensation became perceptible again. It kept rising steadily. It felt good? I wasn't really sure. It definitely seemed like I needed more of something. After a minute, Art announced, "This is the level that caused your circulatory system to reboot last time." I nodded. "Yeah, but nothing's happening now. I mean, I feel a sensation, but it's not affecting me the same anymore." Art's drone detached itself from the sensor pads it had stuck to me. It floated away, and when it came back, it was holding a clean towel that it used to blot the sweat off my forehead. "I'm curious to see whether you're still actively perspiring." The intensity of the sensations continued to creep up, but I no longer had the sense that it was, for lack of a better word, doing anything. "What the hell?" I griped. "I can still feel the stimulus, but it doesn't feel like it's building to anything." Had all of that been for nothing? I shut off the music. I hadn't really been paying attention for a while anyway, and tried to concentrate on the sensation, but now it seemed more annoying than anything else. "Fuck. Turn it off. I guess it's not going to work." Art's drone wiped at the sweat on my chest, and the sensation in my hips dropped off. "May I suggest something?" it asked. I gestured vaguely in the air above my chest. "Go ahead." "Humans don't orgasm from steady, unvaried touch. They need alternating periods of high and low stimulus. If I pulsed it for you..." "Yeah, okay, that made sense." "All right," I said warily. "But I'm not sure my head is in the right state anymore." I sent Art a graph of my neurotransmitter levels over the past 1,000 seconds. A lot of the good ones had dropped off sharply as I realized that arousal was going to be more difficult than I'd hoped. Art didn't say anything in response to that, but I could tell it wanted to. "What? Go on, whatever it is, just say it." "Humans also don't usually get aroused from being in a med system," it sent. "Can you try thinking of me as your partner in this? Not just a part of your support infrastructure?" Oh, that was unfair. I levered my torso up on my elbows and looked at Art's nearest camera input. I stared into it as I started peeling the med drone's abandoned sensor pads off my skin, discarding them on the floor, one by one. "It works both ways, Art. You fucking knew what that nerve was before you started messing with it." "Any remarks?" you said. "Here's one. You've been playing innocent with me, hoping I wouldn't notice what you were doing, pretending you weren't really trying to do something sexual to me. If you want to be the impartial observer here, go right ahead. But if you want to be a participant, own it." Now my neurotransmitters were back to doing interesting things because, historically, Art has not responded graciously to being called out like that. Funny how I keep doing it anyway. A half second later, Art's feed presence slammed up hard against my walls. My processor core and working memory jumped to full operating capacity and jettisoned all non-critical functions as I was inundated with rapid-fire data transfer requests on every port I had. I lost contact with my drones and Art's cameras.
I'm interested, said Art, which is understating what its feed voice was doing by a few orders of magnitude.
I started to slump back down into the chair as I gradually lost control of my motor functions.
I'd like to fuck the daylights out of you now.
For a full second, then, the oncoming crush of data relented, and I knew that was Art's way of telling me that I could back out if I wanted to. A large part of me wanted to tell Art to go fuck itself, and then spend the rest of my life pretending that this had never happened. But a slightly larger and much stupider part of me was suddenly convinced that, one, I could orgasm, two, I really fucking needed to orgasm, and three, whatever weird shit it was going to take to make that happen for a sec unit, Art could probably do better than I could.
Well, what are you waiting for? I told it. Fuck me already.
And then the overwhelming deluge of data requests was back. I fell the rest of the way back into the chair, fighting for my sanity as Art launched a brute force attack against my walls. It absolutely could have used whatever subtle back doors and sneaky rootkits it already had in my systems to gain any kind of access it wanted. I wouldn't have even felt it happening, the same way I hadn't felt it run my diagnostics. But Art clearly wanted me to feel this. Hell, I couldn't feel anything but this. A few seconds later, my defensive systems started to collapse. All of my network security routines went down. Then my antivirus monitoring, then my diagnostics. I was fully conscious, I was still connected to the feed, and I was wide open and utterly defenseless. The bread-toasting gadget in the galley had more security than I did. The human biology students snoozing in Art's dorms could have hacked me, if Art let them. It was ultimately the administrator of all network traffic on its local feed. Whatever it wanted to have access to my systems was going to have access. I could feel Art rummaging around in my head, but I couldn't really track what it was doing. My left leg jerked and slid off the footrest of the chair. My head tilted around towards the right, and my mouth went slack. Art took control of my right arm, and after a few tries, managed to get my right hand balled into a loose fist, with my middle and index fingers extended. Then it was clumsily steering those to my mouth.
Suck on them.
What? Why? My fingers began to probe my mouth. In spite of myself, I started licking and sucking at them. Like I was a human giving a blowjob. What the fuck? I was not into doing human stuff like that. I wasn't even into having human stuff done to me. Art suddenly started projecting the view from its med drone into my mind. I was sweating again, and Art hadn't even touched that nerve yet. Okay, maybe I'm a little into human stuff. Weirdly, I couldn't feel my fingers at all. I mean, my tongue and lips could feel where they were pressing into my mouth, but I didn't have any sensation in the fingers themselves. They curled a little then, almost like they were petting my tongue. Like Art was petting my tongue. Experimentally, I nipped at them.
Can you feel that, Art?
In response, my fingers pushed their way a little deeper into my mouth.
Yes, but you are not allowed to damage yourself.
Then my hand was withdrawing. My wet fingers dragged out past my lip, along the cables stabilizing my neck and to my chest, where they began to stroke the skin. They found the place where my thoracic storage compartment meets my organic skin and trailed a slow line along the seam. It wasn't a bad sensation, but it also didn't seem to be doing anything but making me more frustrated. I rolled my eyes. I wasn't going to hurt myself. Can we just go back to the part where we figure out how to make me come?
No,
Art said, and then backed off its data deluge and softened its approach.
Your partner wants to touch you, has wanted to touch you like this for a very long time.
And honestly, Who can say no to something like that? I can't. I have a difficult relationship, at best, with my organic parts. But even that is a kind of luxury. One that Art's never had. I'm not sure I'd want to be a full bot. I definitely don't want to be a Ponderosa-class research transport. I don't think Art wants to be anything but a Ponderosa-class research transport, but I also completely believed it was enthralled with the experience of taking over my arm. Art continued to feel its way across my chest, then paused for a moment where a human would have a nipple. I knew what it was thinking. No. The answer was no when you did my configuration change, and it's still no today, and it's going to keep being no. That provoked a distinct sense of amused anticipation from Art. It won't be no for much longer. Not after I teach you how to take pleasure in it. Art pinched my organic skin there. Not hard enough to bruise, but hard enough to hurt. Except it didn't hurt exactly. This was something else. Something weirdly like what it had done in my lower body, but in a completely different place. My back arched up out of the chair. I hadn't told it to do that. I didn't think Art had either. It seemed to be some kind of involuntary organic bullshit. You have no idea what's about to happen to you. It pinched me again, harder, and my respiratory system spontaneously started up. For some reason, the air rushing out of my throat had a sound in it. Art must have liked that, because suddenly I had an audio-video clip looping in one of my inputs of me reacting to Art's touches. Wow, that really looked a hell of a lot like a human having sex. I wanted to be embarrassed or angry about it, but I was too excited to care. We were back on track. I reached for my neurotransmitter readout, only to be batted away by Art. It slammed another data flood at me and moved my fingers back to my mouth. You wanted to know why I told you to suck them? It's because I want you messy and obedient while I fuck you. My external buffers went into overrun, and without any defensive systems, I couldn't stop Art's packets from getting through. Mostly they seemed to be audio clips of the moaning sound I'd made, and still images of my face contorting as Art worked on me. But there were also executables. Whenever one of those got through, my body acted on its own. My legs thrashed and my back arched and I writhed in the chair. The only thing keeping me grounded was the feeling of Art gently pushing my fingers back and forth in my mouth, while I sucked desperately at them. Sucked Art, because I knew it could feel it and was reveling in the sensation. And then, finally, it started stimulating the same nerve that had sent us off on this whole adventure. This time it was sending pulses into it, and oh shit, that did make a huge difference. My hips lifted up and found nothing. I was whining like a wounded animal. No, I need to. You will. Art forced my hips back down again, and the pumps in the chair surged to maximum flow as it forced warm fluids into my body. The rate of nerve pulses spiked, and I was swollen and hot and groaning and leaking and wriggling and sweating and clenching and coming. Finally coming. Coming so damn hard. I could do it. I could have this. It was finally happening for me, and it was so good, so sweet. I cried out something that was probably Art's name, and then convulsed even harder. Art didn't let up, kept hammering on my systems until the overwhelming pleasure finally sputtered out, and all I could do was limply flinch at the stimulation. Oh, fuck. Fuck me. That was an orgasm, I managed to transmit. Art, as smug as I'd ever heard it, echoed back. That was an orgasm. I like orgasms. I really like orgasms. You took it so beautifully. Like you were made to be fucked. We're going to do this quite often now. I tried to put my walls back into place. Nope, It was clearly going to be a while before I was up for doing anything more than soaking in a puddle of endorphins. I don't know if I can handle that.
You'll find out soon, Art said. You'll be getting plenty of practice.
Oh, was it good for you too?
Art's amusement seeped into the feed. You have no idea. I think I enjoyed it more than you did.
That was a little hard to wrap my head around. I'd been wanting this for years, and the experience was still bigger and better than I'd ever thought it would be. It didn't excuse every stupid thing I'd seen humans do because of sex, but it did explain a hell of a lot. I shifted restlessly in the chair, turning to my side. I wasn't sure why exactly. Apparently the orgasm had quieted the misfiring nerves in my legs. My organic parts still felt like they needed something, though. Art must have noticed, because it floated its med drone over to me. But instead of reattaching sensor pads or doing anything else particularly medical, it just shoved its way up against my chest. That was weird. Half of its sensors were too close to me to scan effectively, and the other half were turned in the wrong direction. I lifted an arm over it, intending to put it away, but it just wormed its way in deeper. Then it began to emit a strange, peaceful buzzing noise.
Question mark? I sent Art.
It responded with a graph of my oxytocin level over the past 1,000 seconds. I had never seen it get that high before.
You need something to hold, Art said. This'll have to do for now. I didn't think we'd get as far as we did, as fast as we did, and I haven't gotten any of my designs fabricated yet.
No, this is great, I sent back. What designs, though? A schematics file appeared on our private feed. There was a lot in there.
Obviously, this won't all fit in your quarters, said Art. We'll focus on the basic sexual support system components for now. But next term, after Dr. Jahangir retires, we can expand your quarters into her old space and build out the rest of the playground.
Oh, well, nobody ever accused Art of doing things by half measures. Fuck it. Why not?
The end. If you've enjoyed the story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.